I'm Afshin Ritansi. We're going underground not far from this week's arguable London show trial against journalism. Coming up on the show, 48 hours after another court hearing in the case of Julian Assange, is he on the verge of being freed from Belmarsh prison? We ask the UN rapporteur on torture, who continues to allege the world's most famous publisher is being tortured by UK authorities. And as COP26 gets underway in Glasgow, why did UK PM Boris Johnson's ex-Goldman Sachs chancellor just slash taxes on fossil fuels and champagne in a country where one in four children live in poverty? All this and more coming up in today's Going Underground. But first, let's go straight to the case of the world's most famous publisher. Joining me now from Switzerland at this pivotal moment is the UN rapporteur on torture, Niels Meltzer, whose evidence has been used in Julian Assange's defense. Thank you so much, Niels, for coming back on. You have been told by British politicians, I understand, not to interfere with our court system in this specific case. We now know that the Joe Biden administration's Crown prosecution lawyer proxy lawyer here, James Lewis QC, says Julian Assange, his health is fine. He can be extradited to face a possible 175 years in the United States in jail.
Yeah, well, thank you very much for having me back on the show. I mean, yeah, obviously, you would expect them to say that, right? And they're appealing the first instance decision that came to, you know, based on extensive medical evidence that, by the way, corresponds exactly to the findings that, you know, we came to with my own medical team when we visited Julian Assange in Belmarsh on 9th of May 2019. He's in no position to be extradited to a prison system, you know, as the one in the U.S. And, you know, I'd just like to take a step back here. The actual discussion is that he should not even be in prison. Why is he being, you know, indicted in the first place, given that he's not committed any crime?
Well, as you know, Special Rapporteur, as you know, he's a flight risk because he sought political asylum and gained it in London. And all his journalism, as it were, does not protect him from the U.S. Espionage Act. That's what Judge Vanessa Baratza has said. That's why it's only his health that's a consideration.
I'm really glad you mentioned that, because that's the scandal in this case. If you look at that first instance judgment, that's not a victory for the Julian Assange you know, camp, or for Julian Assange himself, or for press freedom, for that matter. It is a trap, because in a legal proceeding for extradition always goes through two or three instances. By not extraditing him in the first magistrate court's level, what that did, legally speaking, is that it put the U.S. in the position to appeal. Otherwise, had he been extradited, then Julian Assange would have appealed, and he would have brought all those questions of press freedom, of political offense, of political motivation in that prosecution, the attempts of assassination and kidnapping, all those things he would have brought to the high court level, where you have judges with much stronger independence and expertise. But it was quite smart by the US and the UK to have it arranged the other way. So they don't extradite him in the first instance. They basically confirmed the whole narrative about the Espionage Act accusations and everything, and set the precedent to criminalize investigative journalism, for that matter. But they will only bring those questions to the appeals court that they want to have reconsidered, which is Julian Assange's state of health and their prison conditions. And now, mind you, their prison conditions is absolutely in their control. They can make diplomatic guarantees at any stage or to any extent to neutralize those concerns. They can offer medical services. They can offer, you know, guarantees with regard to the conditions of detention, which makes it very difficult for the High Court now to refuse extradition.
Yes, James Lewis QC seemed to be saying we have a psychiatric asylum we can throw Julian Assange into if he has mental problems once extradited. Is it, given what you just said, is it sensible for WikiLeaks lawyer Ed Fitzgerald QC to be, in a way, accepting the criminalization of journalism and appealing to the judges Holroyd and Burnett that, he shouldn't be extradited because of that earlier judgment, and this is what it is? You know the Global South. You know cases of torture all around the world. Isn't it more normal for a defense barrister to be claiming this court isn't even something that should be respected? You've already criminalized journalism, your judicial system. We shouldn't accept anything from this court.
Well, the question is, that's a moral stance, but the question is, how much is that going to help Julian Assange in the legal proceedings? And yes, it is a scandal that, you know, the Espionage Act in the U.S. in itself is a scandal. The Official Secrets Act in the U.K. in itself is a scandal because both of them criminalize the disclosure of secret information irrespective of public interest. The High Court can't change that. They can certainly be reasonable and apply the law to the medical states that, you know, Julian Assange is in. They know exactly what the prison conditions are like in the U.S. Now, as far as I know, the defense team has also cross-appealed. It's just that the cross-appeal, which then brings all those other questions to the fore, but that obviously will only be dealt with if the U.S. is successful in its appeal.
So before we get to that stage, just to be clear, as things stand right now in London, if you were about to suddenly, show me a TV set of Reuters journalists being gunned down by helicopter gunships, both of us could be tortured. We could be subject to a U.S. Secretary of State claiming that we were non-state hostile actors worthy of assassination on the streets of London. That precedent has already been set and could be extradited. That's all fine. It's just the suicide risk.
Well, think about the murder of George Floyd, which was recorded on video. And only because of that videotape, that clip, we had the evidence that George Floyd was actually murdered, and there was not a medical crisis, and there was not a case of self-defense or something. There was just no justification. But in that case, the public protests against that police brutality, which, the authorities not being able to avoid prosecuting those officials. Unfortunately, in the case of collateral murder, there simply has been a completely different narrative of, the U.S. going out there and fighting terrorism and so on. And it's very, very difficult for an average citizen who doesn't have privileged access to, what actually happens behind the curtains of policymaking. They actually believe that narrative. It's very difficult for lay people to actually understand that full picture if they believe what the mainstream press is telling them.
When you started your special United Nations investigation into the case of Julian Assange, you weren't alone. There are lots of supporters of Julian Assange, but there weren't so many groups. Today, every major human rights and free speech organization in the world backs your allegations, arguably. Why then do you think it's not a bigger mainstream media story? It is here on RT.
I cannot speak for them. I think it's a scandal that it isn't. Because this is the absolutely, key case on press freedom, on freedom of expression. But far beyond that, on human rights, on human dignity, on the integrity of our rule of law institutions, of our judiciaries, the independence of our judiciaries, the transparency, the right to know that people have a right to know what their governments are doing with the tax money and the power that we, the people, delegate to our governments. This is about our rights. It's about your ability to oversee, to control the integrity of your government. Because if that becomes a crime, what Julian Assange has done, nothing that he has been accused of, except receiving and publishing evidence for war crimes, nothing has been proven. This whole sexual allegations have been dropped by Sweden, not because it expired or something like this, but because they didn't have enough evidence to even charge him of any offense whatsoever after 9 years. This was instrumentalized to demonize him. This thing about him having blood on his hands. It's a ridiculous claim because we know that the U.S. government for, more than a decade has not been able to advance a single case individual who may have been put in danger because of those publications. We even know now that Julian Assange was not even the first person who published those unredacted files, but he made them accessible on WikiLeaks as well after they had been made accessible by a password being published by two Guardian journalists and the weekly journal, the Freitag in Germany. And he did so only after he had taken contact with the White House and tried to do damage control because of the leaks by those other actors. But what we know is that the evidence that he has published, That's not about people being threatened. That's people being tortured, people being raped, people being murdered, you know, in front of a running camera. And these people have never been prosecuted, have never been held to account. And so this is really what this is about. It's about protecting the impunity of criminals, of corrupt politicians. This is what this is about. So we want to intimidate the person who has come up with a genial idea how to use the internet to allow whistleblowers to remain anonymous while transmitting, you know, millions of files that prove government misconduct. Obviously, if that proliferates and we have not only one WikiLeaks, but we have 15,000 WikiLeaks around the world, then, you know, the kind of security establishment with their secrecy, they can pack up and leave with their business model. They really have to start then applying democratic principles, being subject to democratic oversight, respect the rule of law, and that's just not today's reality.
Just finally, I don't know whether that means the journalists themselves, their minds are arbitrarily detained, but I don't know whether you caught glimpses of Julian Assange at the trial this week. He doesn't look well. His partner, Stella Morris, his father, John Shipton, they all look worried. What will it mean for whistleblowers and publishers in the Global South on torture and arbitrary detention? What will it mean for journalism it's probably time now when we start asking this question, if he dies in London under the jurisdiction of British authorities here?
Well, if he should die in prison, he has effectively been tortured to death. That's the reality of it. I mean, I'm not exaggerating. I've been working in areas of war. I have a long history of visiting prisoners, and I've visited Julian Assange, and I have two specialized forensic doctors with me and a psychiatrist evaluating him for 4 hours. And, you know, we all independently from each other came to those conclusions. At that time, his life was in danger. And he, sure enough, a few days after we left the prison, he entered the downward spiral. Julian Assange is not mentally ill. Yes, he has a slight form of autism, as, you know, as many people do, but he is a very resilient, intelligent man. And so he does not belong in a mental institution, right? So if he has a mental issue now, it's because of the abuse that he has suffered. And you cannot get someone to recover from torture by continuing to torture him. And that's exactly what they do. They isolate him. They keep him in that limbo. And just to put this record straight for everybody, Julian Assange is not serving a sentence. He's not even accused of anything that would be criminal. He is being held in extradition detention, as you said, to prevent his escape in case he should be extradited at the end. But he does not need to be in Belmarsh prison for that. Even if we assume for the purpose of the argument that, yes, that extradition proceeding is legitimate, we have to somehow secure his presence, he can be in house arrest. That's what they did with Augusto Pinochet. He was protected by the UK government. They put him in a villa. Margaret Thatcher visited him and brought him whiskey. And as soon as he, you know, a doctor attested that he had some problems to concentrate and had slight forms of amnesia, he was funneled out without even facing a judge. Julian Assange, who has very grave, you know, medical harm has been caused to him in the last decade through that constant, you know, isolation and defamation and abuse and a constant anxiety that he suffers. And he's being isolated absolutely unnecessarily and therefore unlawful. So he is continuously also arbitrarily detained. It would be a tragedy if he lost his life in those circumstances.
UN Special Rapporteur, thank you.
Thank you very much.